I just want to read a couple of healing verses, and we're just going to receive healing in our bodies today as we move forward in Jesus' name. And if you're here today or you're listening to this online, just receive this as your healing word today. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 verse 10 says this: "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." And Isaiah 53, 5 says this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Psalm 70, verse 16 says this: "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." Jeremiah 33, verse 6 says, "Behold, I bring it, health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth." Mark 5, 34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Hallelujah. Just wherever you are, just lift your hands and say this after me. Say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive my healing. Sickness, go. Disease, go. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I receive my healing right now, paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Glory, 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 glory. And in the name of Jesus, I declare you healed, healthy, and whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Viruses, go. Cancers, diabetes, broken bones and joints, be healed in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heart disease, go. Depression, we break your power in Jesus' name. Mental illness, we bind you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we declare everyone within the sound of my voice healed and whole in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now just thank him for it. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your will and your power to heal. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory, 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 glory to God. And be checking yourself in Jesus' name. Be believing God and confessing that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Don't ever let that negativity come out of your mouth. "This is going to kill me. This pain is killing me." All these kind of things. Just wash your mouth out with the word. In Jesus' name. Healing at times we see in the word is instantaneous, and other times it is gradual. But his plan and purpose is to heal your body. Say it out loud. "I will rise in the healing power of Jesus. His blood is flowing in me now, bringing life and health and strength to my body. In Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Oh, that wasn't very good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. There we go. So we are continuing on with our series of living in the more than enough. And this fifth one we're looking at is living in the more than enough in providing for every good work. Is anyone in here able to provide for everything that they've ever want to provide for a work that's being done for the Lord? I haven't reached there yet. Amen? We're probably scratching the surface. But living in the more than enough means that we'll have the finances to be able to give to every good work. Amen? And so today we're looking at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and it says, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance, say an abundance, for every good work. Another translation says you will have more than enough for every good work. Now that should get somebody in here really excited, because it doesn't say, and Shelley is able to make all grace abound toward you, right? This is not talking about us. It's talking about who? God. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things. I love this little word, all. You've heard me preach on it before, but it's one of my favorite words, because all is just what it says. All, right? It is, everything is included. So you will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will have an abundance for every good work. So you're going to have all things and an abundance for every good work. So you may be thinking, well, what does that look like? And I know my family knows exactly what it looks like, because when you have more than enough of something, it's overflowing, okay? And we experienced the overflow, as Steve was saying this morning. It was a spiritual sign last night of a toilet that overflowed at about 12:45. And there was more than enough water everywhere, okay? But you know what? We laugh about that. But sometimes the Lord gives us a sign. He gives us something in the natural so that we can believe for the supernatural. Somebody say amen. So when you look at something that's overflowing, right, is it staying in where it's contained?
Not necessarily.
No. It is going over the boundaries of its containment, right? How many people in this place would like to go over the boundaries that the enemy has tried to contain you with in your finances, in your life, in your health, in your family? You know, he's the one who tries to contain us, and he's very crafty. He doesn't come in with banners saying, I'm here to contain you. No, he comes in the back door. He's sneaky. He brings in thoughts. Oh, well, you could never have that. Why couldn't I have that? Well, I don't know, but you can never have that. You ever stop to think about some of the thoughts that come to your mind that you dwell on? If you really stop and think about them for a second, you'd be like, what in the world is that? That is definitely not God's voice that I'm hearing, right? And so we have to stand in faith. And sometimes it means we have to do something. Amen? An act of faith. All of the stories that we've been looking at, God gave a word, and then the person acted in faith. They stepped out in faith. Sometimes that's sowing a seed. Sometimes it's just standing. And when you've done all to stand, you stand some more. Why? Because your answer was on its way the moment it came out your mouth. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? Principalities and powers. And if you are a giver, the devil doesn't like that at all. At all. Because if he knows, if you have a giving heart, you're going to be willing to give, whether it's a little or a lot. Right? So he's going to try to contain you because he doesn't want you to give to every good work. Amen? That's where you pray and you ask the Lord. Sometimes in our life, when we were first married, we didn't have a lot to give. I've shared this before. So I would look for things in the house to give. Your seed doesn't always have to be money. Sometimes your seed can be time. Sometimes your seed can be something that you have, maybe something that you feel is valuable to you. But if the Lord says, sow that, you take it and you sow it. Amen? And if you're looking inside your house, you'd be amazed how many things that you could bless somebody else with. So you look at, what is it that I can sow? What is it that I can plant, right? And then you stand and you praise because God is faithful to his promises. And this is one of the promises that you, say your name here, God is able to make all grace abound toward Shelley. I want to hear your names, ready? God is able to make all grace abound toward Shelley, that Shelley, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Put your name in there. You is you. So put your name in it. This is God's promise to you. If you are a tither, this is your promise. You know what that means? There is no containment any longer. So if you feel like you're being contained in a way, you speak to that containment and you say, in Jesus' name, hands off. Hands off. Amen? And things have to change. Whether it's supernatural, spiritual, or even physical. I can tell you last night, I was speaking to my toilet. And I was telling it was going to flow in Jesus' name. But it didn't just happen in the first 15 minutes or the first half an hour. It was a while later. But you know what? It flowed. Thank you, Jesus, because we don't give up. We don't give up. And if you keep doing something, you keep doing, oh, man, I've been doing this for 2 months now. Nothing's changing. You know what I say to you? Keep plunging. Keep plunging. Keep plunging until it changes. Don't give up after 2 months. Don't give up after 3 months. Don't give up after a year. You know why? Because just like that, everything can change. Everything can change. You can go from the borrower to the lender just like that. Because God is faithful. Now, he doesn't always say his timing is our timing. I've learned that. Our timing isn't always his timing. But you know what? I've found his timing is always perfect. So our job, we keep standing, we keep believing, because we're supposed to be living in the more than enough so that we can give to every good work. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness today. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is yes and amen. I thank you for your promises, Lord, that you are faithful to all your promises and loving toward all you have made. And we thank you, Lord, today for your promise of our finances, that you are going to give us all sufficiency in all things, so we will have more than enough for every good work that you bring to us. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom. If there's things that are containing our finances today, we thank you. You said you would give wisdom generously to all without finding fault. You would give us wisdom. You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. And whatever you tell us to walk in, I thank you, Father, that you're going to help us to walk it out. You don't just leave us, God. You're right there with us. You are our encouragement. You're the one that gives us endurance to finish the race that we've begun. If people are weary in here today, if people are struggling in their finances, Father, I pray the joy of the Lord would come upon them, that there be such an anointing upon them today, they would leave this place lighter than they have been all week. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to carry that burden. You carry that burden for us. Your yoke is light and easy. So help us to cast, to throw those cares onto you with our finances. Our job is to walk in wisdom. Our job is to be tithers. Our job is to listen. But your job is to bring the provision. And so we thank you for that provision today. We thank you for blessing every seed that is sown. Multiply, Father, 100-fold harvest, Lord. Bring it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Send your angels to bring it in, Father, so that we can give to every good work. We give you praise and glory for your faithfulness today. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen and amen.
All right. Well, let's pray and get into this week's message. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears that hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Say today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to look at, we're continuing on this message called God's Big Ten. Hallelujah. And we're kind of in the final leg of it. We got a couple more weeks of it, but what a wonderful time this has been going through the Ten Commandments. Praise the Lord. But the foundation text has been Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. And a lawyer is asking Jesus a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love," say love, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Serving Jesus is a full-time job, right? I heard somebody say once, you can't whip a part-time or a full-time devil serving God part-time or something like that, right? Amen? So he's got to be the passion of our life. Amen? And we all, I believe, would aspire to knowing him more, to being closer to him, walking with him closer, and just desiring to be with him. I mean, when you love someone, you want to be around them. Not just on Sunday and Easter and Christmas, right? Amen. So we love him more and more. As time goes on, we want to know him more, love him more, learn more from him, be closer to him, not farther from him. Amen? And that's what it's all about. So it's a love thing. And he said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love, there he goes again, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. So it's like a curtain rod, right? We've got these curtains in the back of the room here. And they're hanging on a rod. And that rod is the rod of love. Every commandment that God gives us needs to be hanging on the rod of love. Praise his name forevermore. And it's important, as we've said, you know, just to review briefly, but there is an order here. We don't love people. The first commandment is not love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. No, the first commandment is you love him. Love God. Amen? And then if we're loving God, then we will be able to more effectively love our neighbor. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Well, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 is where we find, one place where we find, the Ten Commandments. And would anybody like to just go ahead and holler out the first commandment in the Ten Commandments? Say it nice and loud now. No other gods before me. And the second one? That's right. You don't worship any graven images. Hallelujah. I'm still going to Exodus chapter 20 here. And the next one?
Don't use the Lord's name in vain.
That's right. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Keep going now. Got to say it louder.
Remember the Sabbath
day. Keep it holy, right? The next one? Honor your father and mother. Right there next to your father and mother, you said that. Look at that. Awesome. That's extra points later for you. We're going out for ice cream, Ella. And the next one. And the next one. You sound murder, you said. Next one. You shall not commit adultery. We ministered on that last week. That message was rated PG. And the next one is, you shall not steal. That's what we're looking at today. And then the final two, don't bear false witness, and you shall not covet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I was, you know, I've been using the Shamash in a lot of my study for this particular message. And I found something really interesting in yesterday's Torah portion, which is what the Jews read in synagogues all around the world every Sabbath day, right? And the Torah portion went through Exodus chapter 22, and one scripture jumped out at me, and it talked about the Ten Commandments being God's handiwork engraved on tablets. And I just wanted to look at that particular verse a little closer, and the word engraved I thought was really interesting. And the Shamash says that the very word for engraved in Hebrew can be translated to freedom. Somebody say freedom, right? The path to freedom is inscribed on the tablets. So you see, the God's Ten Commandments are not to hold you down. They're to set you free. Right? Amen? It says, it continues, the only truly free person is one who engages in the study of the Torah, God's Word, right? The only real freedom is to live as God created man to live. Otherwise, Otherwise, one is subject to his own passions, the mores of society, or the deposition of dominant or fashionable culture. Does that sound like where we're living today, or what? Right. So if we're really in love with Jesus, then we're going to know his commandments and be following his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. They're for our freedom. Somebody say, Jesus sets me free. Hallelujah. And culture, right, our own passions, following those things are what brings slavery, therefore, right? And that's why we have a world right now that wants us just to, you know, inspired by their father, the devil, that wants you just to release your passions, right? And just go and just submit to whatever the culture says. Why? Because if you do so, then you will be enslaved to the government, to the culture, to the society, and you'll do what you're told. And you'll submit to those voices, which is not the way God designed it, right? Now, these people were coming out of hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt. Amen. So it's more than just a list of do's and don'ts. These 10 commandments are the foundation of freedom for any people. Hallelujah. And the rest of this book really is commentary on how to do that. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Well, today we want to look specifically at verse 15, which declares, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. Somebody say, you shall not steal. Right? And we are living again in a culture currently in certain parts of town, in certain counties, sometimes in our country, it's almost county to county, state to state. But there's parts of our region here that won't even prosecute people for shoplifting right now. And so businesses have left in many cases. Walmarts have left. Restaurants have closed. Right? Why? Because the government isn't doing their job to protect the public, right? And prosecute. There's one county, Washington County. You know, I was doing a service over there, and I was actually sitting at a grocery store for a minute, and I saw this car that had unmarked plates, and it looked really suspicious. The people in it looked suspicious. And I reported it. I was like, this doesn't look right. You probably should check this car out. And the lady on the phone, it's interesting, you can almost tell what part of town you're in by who answers 911. Because there's some places, I don't know if you've ever had to do this, where 911 wants to lecture you about, this is really not an emergency, why are you calling us? I had one person tell me that a pit bull is friendly, go talk to it. It's like, no, there's a pit bull running around yard to yard, darting. Or, oh, pit bulls are really friendly. Are you kidding me? Who is this again? Send, you know, the wildlife guy to come, the police officer that drives around in the van to get the dog, right? But this particular one said, well, I'm sitting at this grocery store, and she's like, well, you know what? You're right on the border of Multnomah County and Washington County. And there is a difference. Washington County is on it. Multnomah County, there ain't no such thing as crime. It's the truth, right? It's bizarre, bizarro. And we service a shopping center in Washington County, And right at their security office, there's a sign that says, "We prosecute shoplifting here." Glory to God. Somebody say, common sense. But the whole idea of you shall not steal, again, we just talked about the pathway to freedom. If the culture says, you shall steal, it's okay, we get it. You're addicted to drugs and being crazy and embracing your passions, and we just want to help you embrace your passions. Somebody say, that's slavery. That is slavery. Amen. And so we remember that when it's time to vote. Hallelujah. I've called and left messages for Congress representatives and senators who I think in some cases are stealing my time. Right? Sitting on their hands. The other couple weeks ago when President Trump was making that speech to the joint members of Congress, right? And a bunch of the Democrats left, wouldn't even listen. They were being lectured, yes, but wouldn't even listen, or were very disrespectful, wouldn't stand up and applaud and give respect when they're talking about women who are brutally treated in our nation, wouldn't stand up and applaud for a little boy who had brain surgery and was being honored by our security officers. Blatant disrespect. I called and I left messages, and I said, you know, you're a representative, and what you did today did not represent me. It's another way of stealing. When someone is being paid to represent law and order, protecting the public, and they're not doing it, that's another way of saying you're stealing from me. Right? So we speak up in such things. Hallelujah. But the Shamash, again, this is really interesting. The Shamash takes it it brings some more clarity into this. The Shamash actually interprets the word steal to the word kidnapping. Right? And it proceeds as it says, this is a prohibition against kidnapping. A kidnapper who forces his victim to work for him and then sells him into slavery. That sounds like human trafficking. It alludes to many forms of behavior that are morally related to theft, like winning someone's favor or regard deceitfully. And it's interesting, the farther we go into these commandments, you see how they're all interwoven together. Like theft, there's verses that relate it to taking God's name in vain and also into lying. Right? It's all interrelated. In pest control, you know, if we're doing, I know Randy's done pigeon jobs. And have you ever seen a pigeon by itself? There's lots of pigeons, right? And they're nasty and gross and pooping on the BMWs in the parking lot. The other day, you know how there's people that are hating on Tesla right now, and because it's all related to Elon Musk and all these kind of things. And I just felt prompted the other day. I was again at a shopping center and biz taking a break to go to the restroom and stuff, and this lady pulls up next to me in a bright white Tesla. And I'm getting some things out of the back of my truck. And she hops out and I go, "Hey, thank you for driving a Tesla." And she's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I really appreciate what Elon Musk is doing for our country right now. And thank you for driving a Tesla." She's like, "Thanks for saying that, because I was just in Portland yesterday and people were yelling at me for driving a Tesla." Hallelujah. But demons are like pigeons or rats or cockroaches, and they like to hang out together. Right? And they're nasty and they're gross. Right? So all of these commandments begin to weave themselves together, and it all again comes back to who do you love? Who do you love? Right? Somebody say, "I love Jesus, man. I'm sticking with Jesus, and I'm getting to know him better." And there's people that will use Jesus as a reason why they stole. I've heard it even in church circles. where the secretary, the person that's counting the money, was making house payments with the offering. This is a true story. Not here. But this is a true story. And she got called on the carpet about it, and the minister is like, you can't do that. You're going to jail. We're going to prosecute you. Well, pastor, I had a need. And I thought, surely the church has plenty of money. It's like, oh my word. She's using God as a reason for stealing. No. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. And right is right, even if no one is doing it. Glory to God forevermore. But I thought that was interesting. Kidnapping. The devil has tried to steal our children from us. The next generation, he's trying to steal and kill and destroy, right? And as the believers of the body of Christ, we're standing in the gap and saying no. We're holding up, right? Remember we talked about this? No! Get out of here! I saw this, you know, it's St. Patrick's tomorrow, right? One of my favorite St. Patrick's movies is called Darby O'Gill and the Little People. It's a Disney movie. And the Grim Reaper comes to take his daughter. You know, she fell and she's in the natural, she's dying, right? Of course, she doesn't. But he comes out and he's the only one, of course, that sees the Grim Reaper. He sees the leprechauns, you know, he's great movie. But he comes out with he grabs like a hoe or something and he sees the Grim Reaper and he's, no! And he just throws the hoe. And that's how we got to treat the devil. No! I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Because he is the thief. And that's what we want to focus on here for a few minutes. Is thief is a good description of the devil. So, Christians, we got no business acting like the devil. Right? In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, hallelujah. John chapter 10, we'll start there. We'll continue there, rather, amen. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. See, as a sheep in the Lord's flock, we have to be real good at recognizing his voice, because there's a lot of demon spirits that will disguise their voice to try to sound like the Bible, to sound like the Lord, but they ain't him, right? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now notice he doesn't say I am a door. He says I am the door. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say one way. The thief, verse 10, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So you see how even stealing is related to murder. It's all the same flock of pigeons, right? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He's saying, basically saying, I am the pathway to freedom. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name forever. So we're not acting like the devil. Somebody say, don't act like the devil. He's the thief. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to bounce around in the word here a little bit today. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. And we'll see an example here of how these commandments can kind of weave together. And it says this, Two things I request of you. He's talking to the Lord, right? Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Now that word profane can be translated, take his name in vain. Right? So stealing is right there with taking the name in vain and lying. It's all woven together. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, talking about the name of the Lord, look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Because here's why we don't ever need to steal. Right here. This is a good example. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. When God asks him, tests him to sacrifice his son, right? Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. How many know that's a good answer? If God calls you, your answer should be, here I am. Yes, sir. He shouldn't have to yell, right? Or come looking for you. Why? Because we're right there with him. Amen? And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. This is also a good example of loving God first. He loved his son, but he loved his God first. Right? Your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Now, Abraham, knowing God. Now, yes, this is a test, obviously, right? But knowing him, how he knew him, he probably thought, you know what? That just doesn't sound like something he would ask me to do. That's something the Baal worshipers do. So he went up there with, you know what? I know by faith that we're both coming back. Because he knew his God, right? But he loved his God first, so he had to go through the motions. He didn't just blow him off. Or he didn't say, yeah, Moriah, sure, but, you know, this other mountain is 10 miles closer. We could just get, no, if he'd done that, he would have killed his son. He had to follow, somebody say, follow him to the letter. Listen to every detail, right? So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place, somebody say to the place, right, which God had told him. Then on the third day, there's all kinds of typology of Jesus in this. In his heart, he said, he's asked me to sacrifice my son. And then on the which day? On the third day. What does that remind you of? Right? It reminds us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Isn't it interesting that God, see, we need to see things from God's perspective too. My son is going to die, but 3 days, he knew this is a 3-day journey. Isn't it interesting to see this, the mind of God at work and the love of God and the power of God, right? And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Now this is, listen to this father of faith statement right here. This is why Abraham, one of the reasons why he is the father of faith, right? The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. Now what do you suppose is on Isaac's mind at this point? Because he didn't tell Isaac anything about this, right? He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Somebody say, God will provide. See, that's why a Christian should never even dawn on them to steal something or to act like someone is stealing from you. That's another reason why people steal from work is because, man, I work here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. What are they going to care if I take a stapler home with me? That's theft. What do they care if I take a 90-minute lunch instead of half hour? Theft. Right? But if we see God as who the Word calls him, his name, right, is provider. Therefore, my business, the church, whatever, is not, the government is not your provider. He is your provider. Therefore, you don't ever have to steal nothing. That's good news, right? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went together. And they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, right? And laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, Isaac is like a teenager, and Abraham is like 100 years old. I heard Bishop Keith Butler talk about this. He is so funny, the way he tells the story. He's like, can you imagine this, being a teenage boy and you got this 100-year-old man with a knife in his hand? He's like, you ain't going to let him get close to you with no knife? Oh, it's so funny, right? And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. I mean, he got all the way to this point, man. Right? The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said again, what did he say? Here I am. Yeah. Woo! And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Somebody say, glory to God, right? And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, Jireh, right? And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So when it talks about stealing is profaning the name of God, this is one of the names of God that stealing would profane, would take in vain, right? Dishonor. He is my provider. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Look over at Romans chapter 2. We got time for a couple more here. Romans chapter 2. This one I put there, I just called it Walk the Talk. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. Paul is speaking. He says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and his approved the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. Somebody say, I am instructed out of the law, out of the word, right? And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? See, this is taking it deeper here, right? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Verse 24, for the name, somebody say the name, right? The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So, doing such things as this, you know, preaching God's word, preaching healing, preaching, you know, don't steal, and then I go out and steal, right? That's just one more reason for the world to mock us. And say things like, that's why I don't go to church. Look at those Christians. They act like they love God. They talk it, but man, they're doing exactly the things that they say no one should be doing. This ought not be. Amen. From the pulpit to the pew. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we can do this. We can walk the walk and talk the talk. Glory to his name forevermore. And talking the talk doesn't mean we're judging people. And there was we have this old country station sometimes that we throw on Sundays on the way to church. And it's because they play gospel music. And this morning there was a really interesting song on there about a cowboy who got kicked out of church. He said, they didn't like my black hat, my black boots, my black jeans. And he said, I went outside and looked at that stained glass and he thought, how many hungry people would that money feed? And I saw their fancy cars and I thought, how evil are these people to treat me so, and they were singing so happy in the choir, but they're treating me so poorly. And he went on, but it's really quite a judgmental song. People will use such things, right, to say, watch why, that church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Right? Well, as believers, somebody say, be the real deal. Be the genuine article. We love people. We don't judge them for how they look or this kind of thing, but we walk the walk and we talk the talk. Glory to you. We don't give people reasons to throw stones at the church. Now, they have enough reasons already if they're listening to the devil, right? They're throwing stones at Teslas. Right. So there's people out there, you know, that just hate the church, but let's make sure they're hating for the right reasons. Make sure they're hating because of Jesus, because they hate him, not because, you know, you're talking about not stealing, but you're stealing. You're talking about not committing adultery, but you're sleeping around. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Syria and Israel and all over the planet, where they literally, to come in to have a meeting like this, they could be brutally murdered for that. And that ought to inspire me to step it up. Don't be fake. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm the real deal. I have a real faith and a real God, and I really love him. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Amen. Doesn't mean we never make a mistake, but we're perfect in heart, and we're quick to repent when we miss it. Hallelujah. And how many know if I stop it out here, it'll never get here? Right? That's the example we used last week with the adultery thing. Nobody just all of a sudden is like, oh, what happened? I committed adult. No, no. You, like Rod Parsley said, here we go again with this giant spoon. He said, you dug a swimming pool with a teaspoon and you climbed up the top of the highest high dive and dove head in head first, right? So we watch every little thought, every little action, every little intent of the heart, and we judge ourselves, and then we won't be judged, right? We just ask ourselves, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Is that in the Word? If it isn't, then we cast it out. We judge it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Here's a good example. Ever heard of Judas? Somebody say yes. How many know anybody who's named their kid Judas in recent history, right? Not so much. Not so much. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 12. Now here's a guy that was tight with Jesus, right? I mean, he's in the 12. He's with him every day. But how many know just because you're with him every day doesn't mean you can't be amok in the heart? Obviously. Right? Look at verses 1 through 6. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, And they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now listen to this. You have to put this in. Judas is there with Jesus, having dinner, and at the table is a guy who Jesus raised from the dead. You'd think that would warrant some respect, right? Some honor. And Mary took a pound of very costly oil spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, again, what book are we in? We're in the book of John. John tends to shoot straight. He's not going to say, one of them, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, right? Simon's son. Who would betray him? John adds, right? Judas said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Sounds just like that country song, doesn't it? Think of all the hungry people that those stained glass when they weren't driving them nice cars. And Judas might have been like that. But he's right with Jesus. Here's a woman broken from her sin. And she brings the most costly thing she has and breaks it and begins to cover Jesus. I mean, where is the sensitivity in this man? Doesn't exist. All he thinks about is money and stealing it. See, God can trust his people with wealth, right? Wealth is not the evil thing. It's the heart. We're seeing right now people in our nation who are very, very wealthy people doing very, very good things with their wealth. And we're seeing people who are very, very, very impoverished, right? Or just believe in that whole thing. Just go chase whatever you want and just be broke and live on the streets doing very, very evil things. So money isn't the problem. It's where's the heart, right? And Judas, obviously, and here's another thing. Jesus, obviously, wasn't poor. I love Pastor Huck back in the day. We served with him back in the mid-90s. To the early 2000s, and he would say, how would they have known that he was stealing if all there was four quarters in the basket? Be like, hey, there's only three quarters. Where'd the fourth quarter? No. There was a lot of resources coming through that ministry. And they did feed and minister to the poor. But when this woman came broken from her sin, repentant, and thanking him, he was so cold-hearted because his heart was amuck. And even, he's right there with him all the time and stealing from him. This is evil, man, right? So he said, this fragrant oil could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. He said not that he cared for the poor, right? But because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. This is evil stuff. Hallelujah, right? And then, you know, we'll close with these couple verses. It's easy to judge Judas. Judge him, right? And he is judged, right? The Word of God says this. But then there are scriptures like, and this wouldn't apply to anybody in this room, but to the body of Christ at large, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says this, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. People who don't tithe are thieves. They're stealing God's money every week. And then they'll say, but I can't afford to tithe. If you can't afford to tithe, you are in bad shape financially, man. And it's time to repent. It's time for the body of Christ to call it what it is and repent. This past week's Torah portion was about the giving process. Back in the days where they're in the wilderness and the temple was a tent. And he said everybody brought half a shekel. That's what they asked in that day. Half a shekel. So, and they would melt all this silver together and they would use it to hold the tent down. And he said it was such a beautiful thing because whether you were rich or whether you were not rich, if you were 20 years old or above, you brought half a shekel and common giving, right, helped hold it down. Hold the fort down. Hold the tent down. And everyone can come in and say, whether they were not rich or wealthy, hey, listen, I had a part in holding this thing down. And the tithe is exactly that, a tenth. Somebody say a tenth. Whether you're a billionaire or a hundredaire, a tenth is the Lord's. Somebody say, that's fair. It doesn't say 80% for the rich and nothing for the poor. No, a tenth belongs to the Lord. So there will be meat in his house. So there can be ministry going on. Now, if the body of Christ got this, it would so revolutionize. But see, there's people out there right now teaching that tithing isn't for today. Oh, really? Is adultery? Is stealing then for today? Because basically, you might as well just go ahead and say then, stealing's okay today. No, it is not. Hallelujah. Somebody say, give God what belongs to him. Hallelujah. Bring the tithe into the house of God, and he will marvelously use it. I mean, you can read that whole chapter. Read, the Deuteronomy 28 and chapter 8 talks about the difference between the curse and the blessing of God. God isn't who curses us. It's if we're stealing, it opens our life to a curse. Hallelujah. And then finally, Ephesians 4:28 says this, let him who stole steal no longer. There's forgiveness. Somebody say, there's forgiveness for all sins. And that includes the sin of stealing, right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands. What is good? Now, this just focus on that for a minute. Somebody say, that sounds like go to work. Go to work. Start a business, whatever God puts on your heart, but there's going to be labor involved. Sometimes I think about that with these people that are on the streets, right? And they're holding up cardboard signs and asking for weed money or drug money, and they're living in tents on the sidewalk. And, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus to sift through that, because there's some of them might legitimately have mental issues and things like that. But a lot of them are just because that's what they want to do. They choose to do that. I've asked them before, do you want to be free? I am free. That's the answer I got, right? So literally, some of these people are working harder to do nothing than they would just going to work, right? And there's people, I had a text from somebody, and I could tell they were asking for money. And I just listened to him, and I felt a check in my spirit about responding to it. He was like, no, tell him the challenges you've been having lately. And not you're confessing it, but it's like, you know what? You're not alone in this, brother. We all have these challenges. And you want to ask him, did you go to work today? Or are you just sending emails and text messages to ministries asking them to bail you out? Somebody say, go to work. Right? Hallelujah. So I love this. Let him who stole steal no longer. Somebody say, no longer, right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give. Now see, there's the reason you go to work. Not so you can pay your bills, but so you have something to give to those people who really are in need. Because there are legitimately people that need us to go to work. Hallelujah. Somebody say, work is good, that we may have something to give. Glory, 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 glory to God. This is a good thing. It's a good thing. And we need to look at the concept of work. Well, I'm beneath doing that type of a job. Well, you might have to do that type of a job for a while. Amen. Or again, those people, they abuse me at work. They ask too much of me. You know, and we do have to guard ourselves, because, you know, a lot of times nowadays, we could be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we have these things called smart devices. And we could be checking emails 10 o'clock at night when I'm supposed to be with my family. Right? So we do need to have boundaries. But we don't use that the next day. I'm going to take an extra 45 minutes of lunch today because I answered an email at 10 o'clock last night. That's called theft. Right? Hallelujah. Praise, 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 praise. Let's all stand up on our feet. And we're just rejoicing in the Lord for His word to us. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute to rebuke the thief, who is the devil, right? So Satan, in the name of Jesus, we put our foot down in the spirit and we say, you will not steal from us. You will not steal from our families. You will not steal souls from our families. You will not steal from the church. We're done with you stealing the lives of believers around the world through radical Islam. We bind you in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We curse you. We draw the bloodline around believers around the world. We speak the supernatural protection of God over them. And Lord, we commit ourselves to being honest, truth-loving, Jesus-loving, God-loving, hard-working people that puts you first in every area of our lives. And if there's any area that you would show us that we need to repent in this area, hallelujah, we repent of it. In Jesus' name, we will steal no longer. Hallelujah. 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 We praise and we worship you. And maybe somebody's listening out there today and you've been doing some of these things dishonestly and you just need to take a minute right now and just say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for the sin of stealing. I repent of it right now. And I recommit and give you my life. Maybe you've gotten too familiar with Jesus to the point where you're doing things dishonest in His name because you think, well, He knows me. That's a lie from the devil. Just say, I repent of it right now in Jesus' name. I receive my forgiveness and the cleansing that that blood can bring, and I will steal no longer. I commit my whole life to you. My whole life to you. Maybe you're out there and you haven't been tithing. You're like, this convicts me. I need to begin tithing, but I'm not sure where to start. My bills and all these things. God will give you wisdom. He'll show you where to start. Maybe it's 1%. Maybe it's 2% as you increase. It's the heart. It's the heart behind it that He's looking for. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. And we commit to serving you with all our hearts, to loving you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.